Hello.
Goodbye.
Hello. Hello.
Goodbye.
Geneva, take her to yourself and watch her while she rests. She talks of you as home. I'll try to get to her somehow. While in your arms she lies, I hope she will not feel alone. And I, for the many things I've done, carry on and play the same songs. 'Cause I never knew a better way of loving. Do you? For she is so young, and my dreams will see me playing for the screaming ladies of Los Angeles. And when I decided that would be my stage, I was her age. I remember that was a tender time for me.
Thank you.
That's right, you are listening to Dexter Bentley on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is the Hello Goodbye Show. It goes out on Resonance between noon and one every Saturday. And today we are thrilled to have in the studio our very special guest, Mr. John Otway. Hello, John.
Hello.
We kicked off the show there with rather an appropriate song, I believe, really, because today being Valentine's Day, that is a song of unrequited love, is it, would you say?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It was in fact the follow-up to my first hit. I had this theory that I could win back this girl's affections because I just had this hit record, and I thought, if I do this, I'd written this song for her, and if I do it with a big 100-piece Philharmonic orchestra, she's going to be so impressed because it'll go flying up the charts, and I will become irresistible. But what happened was I destroyed my career and love life.
All in one blow.
One foul song, yes.
One foul song. So that was a 100-piece orchestra,
yes,
on that one. And you blew all your cash, or whatever money you made off of your first hit being really free?
Yes.
And
What happened was we had the hit, and Polydor were quite impressed because we were, you know, up there doing Top of the Pops and stuff like that. And they gave me an advance that in today's money would be worth over £1 million.
Lovely.
And because they thought I was going to have more hits. But, you know, unfortunately, because of this girl, we didn't.
So you're passing the blame onto her then?
Of course. You always blame the girls.
But it looked like you love that song, because while it was playing, you were sort of doing a bit of, you were really getting into it. Does it bring back good memories doing it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was good fun. Being in a studio, you know, on a podium in front of like a big bunch of musos playing. And years later, when I played the Albert Hall, I was in the Aylesbury Youth Orchestra as a kid, and actually booked the Aylesbury Youth Orchestra to come and do it so that I could pose around the stage, you know, the Albert Hall stage, with my own symphony orchestra behind me.
Fantastic. So, it was like, it's almost like I was just saying there as we were playing it, it's almost like a precursor to Oasis. I think they must have ripped you off there, those strings.
They probably did.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I've obviously had effect on most of the music that's come since 1977. I've had just a little bit of an effect
just
on it.
Just before your time, weren't you, John? That's
yes.
I suppose in some ways it was a strange choice of, after Really Free and it being the era of punk in 1977, I suppose that was a strange choice of song to sort of follow on.
Yes, some people have used the word strange, other people have used the word stupid.
But, I mean, because I've read your book, you have a wonderful autobiography out called Baby, That's Really Me. And in fact, you term yourself rock and roll's greatest failure, don't you? Is that something that you can apply to yourself now that you've got two hits?
No, you can't. I mean, at the time when I wrote the book, at least I felt like rock and roll's greatest failure. We were doing shows in Camden Town and three people were turning up.
Right. I know that feeling.
And I'd reached this like low spot in my life, and I sort of knew things could never get that bad again. So it was a good point to write the book, because it had a beginning when you set off and you're a dustman, and a middle when you had a hit, and an end when you were nearly a dustman again.
Yeah.
So the whole book was sort of like rounded. So that was a good time to write the book. And a lot of people said you shouldn't sell yourself as a failure because it doesn't work. But to me, it was sort of obvious that rock and roll's greatest failure starts becoming untenable when you're doing your own show at the Royal Albert Hall and you're back doing Top of the Pops and you're in the top 10. There's a lot of people that are bigger rock and roll failures than that. So, you know, you can sort of say, tongue in cheek, yes, I was, but not now.
But was that